Ramsey TV.
Believe it in the heart and avow it with your mouth. This is Martin Zenner, and I got a different interpretation of Romans 10:10 than most people have. It's not my fault. I just look at these scriptures and boom, like sparks fly. And no, not literal sparks. I have to be very careful that nobody thinks that I am experiencing any physical manifestations here. No, this is all a spiritually energized understanding of the Word of God. Again, from the edge of the bottom of the Florida Peninsula, starting a new week here. I think we got Mother Teresa covered back there. And now, I probably should have mentioned, of course, Mother Teresa's eventually coming into life. She's just not going to see the light of day until the Great White Throne Judgment. Yeah, because just like in where we left off in Romans chapter 10, those who are seeking to establish their own righteousness are ignorant of the righteousness of God. The poster children for that is Israel, but it applies down the line. It's a universal principle that those who are trying to establish their own righteousness are said in Romans 10:3 to be having a zeal of God, Romans 10:2, but not in accord with recognition. Zeal versus recognition. Today, we only look at zeal. We only look at someone's enthusiasm. When they're so excited, so they must really have something to say. But no, excitement is no substitute for substantive declarations that belong to understanding the Word of God. So those of us in the body of Christ, we've been trained. We have this like x-ray vision where we can see past the zeal. We can see past the kaleidoscopic energy. We can see past someone's volume of what they're saying into the substance of what they're saying or the lack thereof. So what I'm doing here now is I'm back into Romans 10. If you remember, a long time ago, can't remember when it was, might have been 2, 3, 4 weeks, I started a sub-series on Romans 9, 10, and 11. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the Romans who were, for the most part, members of the nations, that is, non-Israelites, but he's teaching them concerning Israel. In 9, 10, 11, Paul goes on a bit of a sidetrack concerning Israel because he's very zealous for his brethren according to the flesh. He wants them to be saved into their gospel. And he's lamenting that they have a form of devoutness. They have a zeal. They're all excited. They're doing many things breathlessly, but they don't know what they're doing. And this is a great sub-study that Paul is doing for us because this gives us insight into the general religious mind, the general religious heart. Ignorance of the righteousness of God, seeking to establish one's own righteousness, these things belonging to unbelief, not to belief, and zeal versus recognition. Sorry, I'm a little congested here today. I'm not feeling too great, but the show must go on. So I believe I left off in verse 10. Let's go to verse 9. I'm going to do Romans 10. I'm going to finish Romans 10. I'm going to finish Romans 11. Is a fascinating study. Many people get Romans 11 wrong. If you get Romans 11 wrong, you're going to not know where we are in this era. You're going to apply scriptures to yourself that don't belong to you. You're going to feel condemned. You're going to feel concerned for your own salvation. I'm going to straighten this all out. We also have in Romans 11, when I get there, it won't be long. We have some insight into the current era and what is happening today as far as current events, the political situation. When I did the Revelation series, remember I told you I'm not going to forget about Paul and our message. Likewise, when I'm unpacking Paul and our message, I'm not going to forget about things events, politics that belong to the final years of Millennium 6. For those of you who don't know, I did an entire series on the book of Revelation. 3.5 years. 800 parts to that. Might have been 4 years. I can't remember. Go to martinzender.com. Scroll down. You'll see the Revelation series. Or it's on the left side as well. So what does Paul mean when he says that concerning things of Christ, if ever you should be avowing with your mouth the declaration that Jesus is Lord, and should be believing in your heart that God rouses him from among the dead, you shall be being saved. Now, what is this avowing thing? Avowing with the mouth. Let's go on. I'm going to ask that question again, then I'm going to answer it, because that's why you're here, and that's what I do, and that's what Paul gives. For with the heart it is believed for righteousness, yet with the mouth it is avowed for or into salvation. For the scripture is saying, everyone who is believing on him shall not be disgraced. This is a great truth. There's enough disgrace in this life, but believing in him, we will not be continually disgraced. We will not continue to be disgraced. We will be glorified. For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek in this aspect. Remember, in the body of Christ, there is both Jew and Greek. People see a phrase like this, there's no distinction between Jew and Greek, and they think, well, Martin, then the message of Peter to the circumcision and the message of Paul to the uncircumcision, that is, Peter for Israel, Paul to the nations, says here there's no distinction between Jew and Greek. That's only in the body of Christ. Folks, that's only in the body of Christ there is no distinction. In the body of Christ, the two become one. The Jews and the Greeks become one body in Christ. National distinction disappears, not actually, but as far as believing the message goes. And as I've told you, when those of the nations heard the message of the grace of God and they realized that some Israelites were jumping into Paul's gospel, I mean, Paul himself was an Israelite, was he not? So there are other Jews who heard Paul's message and they jumped ship, as I like to say. They abandoned their own gospel and came into Paul's. So those of the nations who saw this happening, they rolled their eyes and go, oh my God, we thought this was our club. We thought this was our exclusive club here, this nice little evangel of grace, no law, no baptism. Now these Jews who are famous, these Israel types who are famous, they're always first. Wherever they go, God favors them. They're the apple of his eye. And now here they come ruining the party for us. We had our own thing going. Paul says that we are highly exalted with God. Now these Israel types are jumping in. And so the nations would have been forlorn. They would have had their eyes down. Here we go again. Jews are superior. Paul would have said, nope, not in the body of Christ. There is no advantage. This was radical teaching in its day. Paul said there's no advantage in the body of Christ to someone who can trace his or her ancestry to Abraham. That's only in the body of Christ. Only in the body of Christ is there neither Jew nor Greek. Only in the body of Christ does national distinction disappear. In the Israel message, as I've said, and will continue to say, it is important. Your genealogy is important. There is still the distinction in that gospel, in that message. Israel belongs to the earth. And whenever we talk about earth, we will be talking about and considering national distinctions. It's only in the body of Christ where these disappear. For the same Lord, verse 12, for the same Lord, the same one is Lord over all, being rich for all who are invoking him. For everyone, whoever should be invoking the name of the Lord shall be being saved. I remind you that being saved speaks of someone coming to a realization of the truth. They're not absolutely saved. You, me, anyone is not absolutely saved on the day they believe the message. But they are because everyone was saved at the cross 2,000 years ago. One died for the sake of all, consequently all died. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And he who dies has been justified from sin. Romans 6. Being saved means coming to a realization of it. So Paul's talking about invoking. Paul's talking about avowing with one's mouth. He goes on in verse 14, how then should they be avowing or invoking one in whom they do not believe? I'll be getting to that tomorrow. But for now, I want to just explain to you why Paul says avowing with the mouth and why what I believe here is different than maybe what you've heard before. Or maybe you've heard nothing about this. Because of this passage, I now think that one of the greatest proofs that one is actually believed the evangel, because many are feigned believers, not many, but there are feigned believers out there. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in the first 5 verses of that chapter, when he's elaborating upon the beliefs that belong to membership in the body of Christ, the death of Christ for sin, his entombment, and his resurrection. Paul said there are some who believe feignedly. That is, they don't really believe. They say the words. I mean, I can tell anybody about this evangel, and I can tell them what they're supposed to believe. I can tell them what beliefs belong to membership in the body of Christ, death of Christ, for instance, that Christ actually died, that he was not in heaven for 3 days wandering around. It wasn't just his body that was lying inert on the stone, but he was gone. He himself, Jesus Christ, was dead. I can get them to repeat that like a parrot, but it doesn't mean that they believe it. Here's how you know, and it's not fruit. This is why my understanding here is radical. Some will say, well, you have to have fruit, and you will. If you have legitimate belief, you will produce fruit because the Spirit of God. See, in order to actually believe the evangel and to really believe it and not just say you believe it, you have to have the Spirit of God within you. The Spirit of God is the only thing that can cause you to grasp Paul's message or the circumcision message for that matter. And the Spirit of God bears fruit. See, it's not just some vaporous thing. It produces things, love, joy, peace, patience. So these things will come into your life. But even before that, I think even before that, with the mouth, it is avowed. When somebody hears this truth, and it could be the truth of the salvation of all, of the sovereignty of God, any true truth. Is that a redundancy, a true truth? It is. Okay. Anything that's true. That better? All right. If anything is true, that is believed, the person believing it will, the first thing they want to do, I think you can vouch for this, you can back me up here, is share it, to avow it, to tell it. You can't wait to run out and tell it. You remember that woman at the well? Jesus runs into her, his disciples are out getting lunch, they're going to Wendy's, and Jesus is left alone. He meets this woman at Jacob's well, and she can't believe he's talking to her. Anyway, he tells her about her life, how many husbands she's had, who she's living with, and she's astounded. Truly, you're the Messiah of Israel, she says to him. And she runs off, and the first thing she does is tell her friends. The first thing she does, she avows what she has come to understand. She can't help it. It's bubbling over. This is the avowing, the telling. It's not a requirement for salvation, you see. Some people say that you have to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Confess with your mouth. They put their hand behind your neck. Confess with your mouth. And unless you do it, they don't think you're saved. Well, he didn't confess it with his mouth. No, it says here, Paul says, with a heart it is believed into righteousness. That's the actual thing. That's the belief. That's the spark. That interior person. With the heart, the message is believed into righteousness. What do you mean, into righteousness? Well, that's in the Concordant version in verse 10 of Romans 10. For with the heart, it is believed into. It's the word for is in the text, but there's a superscript I-O, little tiny I-O on top. The for, that means it's literally into, but it doesn't make for good English, so A.E. Nock, the translator here, just put it above. It is believed into righteousness. God established the righteousness. Christ established the righteousness on the cross, and we believe into it. We attach our cars to that engine, okay? We believe into it. Yet with the mouth, it is avowed into salvation. So the one gets you into righteousness, that is the believing. It's a silent thing. Believing is silent. Makes no noise. That guy just believed the evangel. How can you tell? I can't. In fact, I could never even say the initial spark. Nobody can say that that guy believed or that woman believed the evangel. You couldn't because it's silent. The Spirit of God is silent. It's quiet. Belief in the evangel is silent. It's quiet. And that's saving faith. That's the thing that joins your train car with the engine of Christ's sacrifice at the cross. But this, with the mouth, it is avowed, it is said, it is spoken into salvation. So now that the heart has tapped into, has been caused by the Spirit of God to understand the righteousness that was won at the cross, that initiates salvation, the being saved. Now, with the mouth, it is avowed into that salvation. You see, that salvation that has just been established without a noise in the heart, privately, that is now avowed. That salvation now is avowed. And you go running out and talking about it. To me, now, after reading this verse in Romans 10, that's the number one evidence that this belief was legit. That it's not feigned. Because if it's feigned, if it's somebody just parroting the words, the substance isn't in them. The joy and the happiness that is produced by believing in Paul's message, you can't, if that's legitimate, you can't help but share it. If it's just words, then that happiness, that joy isn't there. If it's just words, then you won't share it. How can you exude something? How can you avow something? How can you let it spill? And somebody could say, well, I guess somebody who can't talk isn't saved. It's avowed with a mouth. What if they're using sign language? Sign language counts. However you express it, the expression of it. The word means to express. Christ is the Word of God. The Word of God. What does it do? What does the Word of God do? It goes out. It expresses what God is. That's what Christ did. He's a visible manifestation, an audible manifestation of what God is. And the first thing it does is go out, because that's the first thing legitimate belief does. It goes out. It can't help it. It just exudes it, like that woman at the well. It broadcasts it. And so with the mouth, it is avowed into the salvation. It's not the avowal that saves. It's that heart belief that saves. It's the avowal. That is, I can't help but go tell my parents this. I can't help but tell my kids. I can't help but tell my best friend. This is the greatest news I've ever heard. Boom, and you go out and avow it. And that, according to Paul here in Romans 10, is the number one evidence that the salvation that was believed with the heart is legitimate.